And in the studio today, we have the teachers that we had yesterday. We thank you all for coming. We have...
Hello, everyone. This is Carolyn.
Hi, this is Zach.
And I'm Brandon.
I'm Doris. So let's get going on the happy life. You all have a smile today. That's good, because we're talking about happiness. Thanks for bringing your smile to class. Nobody can see us. But are we happy here?
We are happy here in the studio, and I hope that everyone listening has a smile on as well and are feeling happy today.
Mm. And we're glad that you're our friends for life.
That's right.
And we care about each other. So let's work on our English, but also let's work on our lifestyle. That's even more important than English.
You're right, Doris. It is more important, and it's always good to be happy. And there are many different things that maybe play into that. Yesterday we talked about kind of your mindset and not finding your happiness in other people, that lies within. And so I think that was a good start for this article.
Well, you know, I often think about children. Sometimes children seem very happy and smiling, and other times they're very unhappy. And if you would go up and ask a small kid, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years old, what makes you happy, what do you think they would say? Wouldn't most of them say it's some kind of possession?
Maybe,
my new cell phone?
Yeah, maybe a toy, or maybe playing with their friends, usually something involving something outside of themselves.
Right, you ought to try that sometime. Go up and ask some young kid, what makes you happy? What do you think they might say to you? What makes you happy? Probably would be something they get, like money
candy.
Or candy,
yeah.
Or something. Don't you think it's possessions, though?
Sure, often with young children just lacking some of the maturity of kind of...
They might kind of just things that they can have in their hand.
Right.
But I don't think if you went up and said to some kid, what makes you really happy? Not too many of them would say, my loving father and mother. They might mean that, but I don't think you'd hear that, would you?
No, they wouldn't think like that. It takes time. As Zach was saying, we need maturity, and so it takes time to develop that.
So you could say they're just parroting the culturally dictated things, is that the more things you have, oh boy, wait till Christmas and you can get this new toy.
And then you'll be really happy,
for
2 days until you forget about it.
That's right. But don't you think our society kind of starts us on that when we're little?
Yeah, and these days we're so busy and we're used to having things instantaneously, and so we, you know, it's like a microwave generation. We want everything very quickly, and if we don't get it, we get upset because we are impatient.
Right, and so it's good when you have children to teach them that makes them happy when they help other kids or give to other kids. Don't just think when you get something, you'll be happy. I think we can start in our families when they're younger by teaching them how to have happiness. Don't you think so?
Yes, I think that happiness is something you can learn to have. So don't worry if you're not happy now. You can learn to be happy and think happy.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us who have sometimes, like I came from a large family with 8 children, and we didn't have very many things. And we were probably what we could say a little bit poor, but we didn't feel like we were poor. We had food to eat, and we had things we liked to do, and played games and things like that. So, you know, it's not just so much money you have that's going to make you happy. You could say, if I had a lot of money, then my kids would be happy. Not necessarily. I've known people with just 1 or 2 kids, and they were never as happy as we were.
Right.
What do you think? What do you think, Zach?
Sure.
Do you think that having a lot of things is going to make kids happy or not?
No, I don't think so. I think that like us, or like adults, that kids are also wired to need to find happiness within themselves to make that decision, and over time to learn it, and also to practice happiness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about our lesson today? What are we talking about here?
We're talking about the one thing no one realizes about happiness. So that's drawing me into this. Doris, I want to find out that one thing.
Okay, we have to find out. Now, people with a lot of money, we always think they'll be the happiest, right?
Sure, but we also have a phrase in English that money can't buy happiness.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, some people that have a lot of money are happy, but there's a lot of people with money who are worried about losing it, or they're worried about somebody stealing it, or they just seem to have more worries than anybody.
Right. I think the key is being content with what you have. If you have very little, you can be content. It doesn't mean you don't want, you don't have goals or something like that, but you don't, always wanting more and more and more, and you're never happy.
Well, and people that have money often invest it, and you don't know if it's going to be good or not. What happened to this European billionaire, Zach? He had a lot of money?
Sure, yeah. A guy who had started out very rich, but unfortunately was very short-sighted, ended up committing suicide.
Well, let's read more about this now in our lesson today on page 17, the first column, One Thing That No One Realizes About Happiness.
The one thing no one realizes about happiness. Last year, I was reading about a European billionaire who, after losing a good chunk of his wealth in a bad investment, ended his life. The day he committed suicide, he was still a billionaire, albeit a less well-off one. Most people would think, this guy was still rich. What was he thinking? But what most people don't understand is that happiness is not about what you have or own. It's about where you feel you're headed, about whether or not the future is looking brighter. Contrast the billionaire with a longtime job seeker who finally lands a position, which certainly doesn't match billionairedom. What emotions would come up then? Progress, happiness, joy. Put simply, happiness is progress. Or, as happiness researcher Sean Acker explains, happiness is the joy you feel moving toward your potential. If you feel like you should be happier because, hey, you already express gratitude for what's going right in your life, right? Here's what you can do.
Well, when we find out here's what you can do, there's going to be three important things. But before we get there, let's talk more about this part we just read.
That's right. We learn about this European billionaire who we referenced earlier. And this billionaire lost a good chunk of his wealth. And a chunk is a large part. And so he had a lot of money and lost a lot of it.
That's true. And, you'd think that he still had a lot of money. Why wasn't he happy? But he just couldn't stand losing it. Isn't that something?
Yeah, he felt like he was headed in a bad direction, right? The wrong direction, not making progress.
Mm-hmm. So we can't understand that. Well, he still had some, but most people don't understand that happiness is not about what you have or what you own. Now, that's not really what the cultural society says. Yes, the more you have, the happier you are. But it's not about that. But
right.
It's hard for us to get that in our minds, isn't that right?
Oh, it's so true. I think so much of society that you'll see and interact with today pushes, consumerism. I need this first. I need that before I can be happy. And that's just a lie.
And you mentioned before about advertising. We see these things on commercials all the time. We need this, we need that. And we think, that's
we'll be happy.
Prevalent in our culture. And so we want to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. So we need to go buy that.
Okay, so it's more than what you have, but it's what you feel, where you're going, or is the future, there's good things that are going to be. Don't you think hope is important?
Yes, I think hope is a really big factor when it comes to happiness. When we have hope that things will get better, even if they're bad right now, then we can still be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But when we lose hope, when things look like there's no chance for improvement, that's when we give in to despair and we lose joy. And here we even have someone who killed himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. In fact, hope is one of the most important things. And, we often look to supernatural things, to like idols or something like that. But, you know, the only one can really give us happiness is God, because he made us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God gives us hope, and he said, I'm going to take care of you, and I prepared a place for you. Wow, I don't need to buy a place here because God prepared one. Mm-hmm. So the hope for the future is what makes us happy, don't you think?
That's right. We can't live without hope. And we also need to know, you know, what's ahead. What are we shooting for? What's our goals? You know,
right.
If we're just kind of wandering around, it's hard to be happy because we don't know where we're going.
That's true. And so it says here that we have to, you know the future is good. And this billionaire, who is some kind of a billionaire with a longtime job seeker, say, who finally finds a position, doesn't match the billionairedom. That's an interesting word. It's not a real word. It's a quotation. It's a coined word they made up. What does that mean?
That's right. Well, someone who's a billionaire, right? And so if you're in that category, there aren't very many people in that category. So they are contrasting these two people. So someone who was a billionaire, and it was someone who's just found a job. They've been looking for a job for a long time, and they landed a position. They got that position. And so they're comparing what would happen if you were in those two different situations.
What would happen?
Well, if you were the job seeker and you finally got that job, you would feel like you made progress. Mm-hmm. You would be happy. There would be joy. You would be so excited that finally all your efforts in looking for this job have paid off, and you have a position that you like.
So it says here that happiness is progress. You're making progress, and that makes you happy. If you don't make progress, you probably won't be happy. Isn't that true, Zach?
Oh, absolutely, and I think it's seeing that hope really becoming a reality.
Mm-hmm. And happiness is a joy that you feel moving towards your potential, which has to do with your hope. I can do more, I can do better, and I'm getting there. And that makes you happy, right?
It does. You are moving toward your goal. So maybe, you know, even if you're a billionaire, you still need goals. You still need to make progress in some area of your life. But you don't have to be a billionaire to be happy, as long as you're moving toward a goal.
I'm glad to hear that, because I don't think we'll become even millionaires.
Good news, right?
What about millionaires?
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll even be millionaires. But, you know, money does not necessarily mean you'll be happy. We like to use money, mm-hmm. but it doesn't make you happy. You have to be happy whether you have it or not. That's hard to learn.
Right. Yeah, money is very important. We need it to buy things. We need it to survive in a lot of ways. But happiness and money are not necessarily connected.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you think you should be happier. And you are, you know, happy about this, but what can you do about it? Now, that's what we're going to talk about partly today. There's three different things, and we're going to take one of them today. But don't you think that it's important for people to realize that nobody else can make you happy, that you have to have the right mindset? That's very important.
That is key. It's important to have the right mindset. Here at the end, in parentheses, it says, because, hey, you already expressed gratitude for what's going right in your life, right? And I think this is a sarcastic tone, because oftentimes we are not thankful. We are not expressing gratitude for what's going right in our lives. We're comparing ourselves with others and thinking, why don't I have this? And so we're not happy as a result of comparing ourselves with others.
If you compare yourself to those that have nothing, you should be pretty happy, because comparing with people who don't even have enough to live and eat, we're pretty good.
Yes, we're blessed.
Depends on who you compare yourself with, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so the happy life, it looks like a road sign. The next exit, I don't think we want to get off. We want to get on, right? Get on the freeway of being happy. But in order to be happy, there's certain things you have to do. And this is the book, The Happiness Factor, lists some of them. And the first one it says here is to set yourself up for success. Now, to set yourself up for something has something to do with your mindset, doesn't it?
That's right, it does. And I think this comes from this article, greatest.com. They're giving us some tips here. And the first one is to set yourself up for something, to provide what you need in order to have success.
So today, we're going to just take the first one, to set yourself up for success. Let's see what we have to do. Let's read that together.
One, set yourself up for success. When I was a recruiter, the number one thing candidates wanted even more than a salary bump, was a workplace where they could get better. They wanted to work for a good mentor, have a clear career acceleration path, and be in an environment that promoted advancement. Does your career make you feel like you are getting smarter, faster, and better year after year? Or have you been on a long plateau the last couple of years or more? If it's the latter, no wonder you're not excited or energized. Feeling stifled, stuck, or bored means we're not making use of our potential. And we're here on Earth for the purpose of expansion, not stagnation. Luckily, there are plenty of ways to get out of this rut. Is there a new project you can volunteer to help out with? Or another position you've been gunning for at work? What about exploring a side job, or even looking at job openings at other companies?
Okay, so when I was a recruiter, this person was, and then they found out that people didn't want just a raise in salary. A salary bump could be a raise in salary. Now, a lot of people look forward to this. Oh, I got a raise every year. But sometimes that's not satisfying enough for people.
That's right. They want, you know, progress. They want to learn in the workplace. It says here they want to work in a place where they could get better.
Right. Sometimes if people want to quit their job and say, why are you quitting? You have a good salary and everything. Yes, but I'm just not learning anything. I'm not learning new things, so I want to quit. So people want to learn more all the time, don't they?
Right. And the article also points out that they want to work for a good mentor. Mm-hmm. So a mentor is someone that you learn from, someone who has a lot of experience and can kind of show you how to make progress.
Okay, and they want to have a clear acceleration path. Acceleration just means going upwards fast,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
Well, they want to be in an environment that promotes advancement. And so maybe they want to become a manager or a supervisor. They want that path that where they can grow and learn more and move up in the system.
Well, that's true in a way. But when you get right down to it, you know, even if you're in a company where you don't feel that you're learning more, you can still learn. There's the things mm-hmm. you can learn on the side. You
sure.
can help the company. And if you have the right mindset, you can make that environment. You don't have to wait for others to give it to you, don't you think?
Right. I think there is a lot of wisdom in making the most of your situation, right? Taking advantage of what is available to mm-hmm. you and not necessarily looking for outside things to make you happy, right? We discussed that yesterday, that it's within, not without.
Right here, it says, does your career make you feel like you're getting smarter and faster, better? So sometimes it's not your career, not your marriage, not your career. It's what you make out of it. So don't say, this company didn't help me learn. Mm-hmm. It might be up to you. What do you think?
No, absolutely. So when we were talking about setting yourself up for success, to set yourself up, think mindset. Think, what can I do when I show up to work to make this a better day?
Mm-hmm. Right, and you might think of new ways to help the whole company. Instead of waiting them, your career telling you, you might be able to be the one to help change it.
The same idea, we are expecting other people to make us happy or to give us what we want, but no, we can do things to help others and to help ourselves as well, to make a path.
That's true. And it says here that says, have you been on a long plateau the last couple of years? What does that mean?
Well, if you're on a plateau is very flat. Mm-hmm. And it means that you haven't made any progress. There are no changes.
Same
it's
old
just
thing.
The same thing.
Well, you know, some jobs might seem, let's just say you're a waitress or something, and all you do is wait on people, and I've been doing it for several years. Some people are waitress for 20 years, but there are things you can do, even in a job like that. It doesn't have to be something that you get, there's certain ways you can do things, and I think you can make people happier where they eat. You can do a lot mm-hmm. of things. You don't have to just say, oh, this is so boring. You can make it exciting.
Right, and you can be very professional in that line of work. There are a lot of ways that you can bring professionalism to the job that you have, even if many people don't think that it's a really great job or a high position.
That's true, because, you know, it says here that in line 15, well, you're not excited, you're not energized. Maybe you need to bring that element in and don't expect other people to give it to you.
Oh, it's so true. And if you feel that way, share it with your coworkers, share it with your colleagues, and get them on board too.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And think about things you can add to your life to bring excitement. It doesn't, maybe right now it's not at work, but outside of work you can do other things to add a lot of life back into yourself, basically.
What does it mean to feel stifled here in line 15? When you feel stifled, how do you feel?
There's no progress.
Okay.
So if you're stifled, you know, it's the idea of stopping something from happening. And so if you're feeling stifled at work, you're not making progress there.
You're stuck in the same thing. You're bored. One thing I think, if you work a studio classroom, you'll never be bored, right?
There's always something to do.
Something new. See? Mm-hmm. And even in advance, because we have news articles and we're always learning something new every day. You don't have to be bored. And you can make good use of your potential and your time. And you can do different things, can't you?
You can. You can learn new things.
And new ways to do
this
things.
This word potential is very important. What are your abilities? What gifts and talents have you been given, and how can you use those?
Well, it talks about what we're here on Earth for. Well, we're all here on Earth. We're people. We live here. And we're here on Earth for expanding things, not just to say, oh, we're just stuck in a rut. I don't think that's the way that we've been created to be like that. We've been created to be more creative.
That's right. That's an important thing to remember. We are creative beings, so we need to get out there and create something, right? Expand, and don't just live this stagnant lifestyle where there's no growth happening.
And there's so many new things going on we can learn and apply and use in our companies, in our life, in our friendships, different ways to do things. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. And I loved this line, just that, yeah, for the purpose of expansion and not stagnation. You know, we live in a dynamic world. Everything, you can see it in nature. Things are growing. Things are in process. And so are we, and so is our happiness.
Stagnation, I think about water that's not moving and there's nothing, you know, growing on it. And stagnation means nothing moving or growing. It's kind of dead, right?
Mm-hmm. And stagnant water is water that you don't want to drink. Mm-hmm. It's usually very
dirty. You don't want to swim in it.
No, you don't want to interact with that. And we don't want our lives to be like stagnant water. We want our lives to be flowing and moving like a river and be making progress.
Well, good for you. Line 19 says, luckily, there are ways to get out of this rut. Sometimes people say, I'm in a rut. Yeah. And you don't need to be in a rut. What does it mean to be in a rut?
Well, if you are in a rut, it's something that you just can't get out of. And you feel that your life is very boring as a result of it. And so if you're in something like that, you know, maybe it's your job. You feel like, I've been doing this job for years and I just feel like I'm not growing. You mm-hmm. could say, my life is in a rut.
So what question could they ask there? Is there what?
Is there a new project you can volunteer to help out with? And that can help you to get out of that rut because you're doing something new.
You see, I've been doing this, but I say, well, could I help do something? And you can mention it. Oh, sure, you could. I mean,
right.
Think about it.
Yeah, you could also think about, oh, is there another position that you're gunning for at work? And I kind of like this phrase here, gunning for something. It means that you're really trying hard to
gung-ho.
Achieve it. Yeah.
Yeah. You could work towards. Well, you could have another side job if you wanted to and look at job openings at other companies. I think that's what you could do. However, there's probably a lot of things at the company you're working for now that you could change if you want to be the one to start it.
That's right. And so you have to have a good attitude wherever you are. You have to decide, should I go get another job? Is that the right thing for me right now? Or should I stay where I'm at and change my attitude about the work, how I think about the workplace?
Well, if you are the one that's, you're not satisfied, you may not be satisfied in another job.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get along with the people here. Go to another company. I can't get along with them there.
And, you know, that's important to remember. You know, think about where you're at your job. Is it something that you need to change about yourself? Well, then work on that. Change your attitude.
What do you think of that?
I think that's a really good point, because there are times when we feel like I'm not being fulfilled, or I'm just wasting my time, or why am I doing this? But we should reevaluate. Why are we doing it? We should think about that. And if it's not something we like anymore, if it's not something we enjoy, then we should find other ways to fulfill ourselves and continue to grow. But we also need to think about, is this an internal issue where I need to work on my attitude? Because that could also be a factor.
So you have to set yourself up for success. You realize that you are the one that makes the decision, and you're the one that can set yourself up and say, I'm going to really do a good job here, and I'm going to try to find other things I can do, and I think you'll find there's a lot of opportunities.
Absolutely. I think we can always easy to find ourselves in that situation of being in the rut or feeling stuck, but it's up to you to break that cycle and make that decision.
That's right. If you're riding a bike and you're in a rut, you pick your bike up and get out of it, right?
That's right.
And if you're on a career like that, you say, hey, I'm going to do something about this. And you can, but have a positive attitude and ask your mentor and your friends. But that's just the first point. So what we've talked about, things that might make us happy. So the first thing that we have to do then is what? To decide that we are the ones who make a decision, right?
Right, yeah. So we have to recognize that happiness is something internal, not external. It's not based on our circumstances. We have to decide to be happy. But we also need to set ourselves up for success.
So don't miss the next two points, because we're going to talk about them tomorrow. So we'll see you here when we read the other parts. And remember that happiness is within you. Set yourself up. See you tomorrow, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.